Down to brass tacks. No, Dr. Greenidge, a couple of...
Hi, David.
At the end of the day, is it correct to say that it amounts to this? The central bank is underrating the issue of the bonds, but it does add a 5% cost to the government bill in the form of the interest. As much as you're trying to save, immediately you may be saving, but there is that cost needs to be factored in.
Yeah, and over time. But keep in mind, David, right now, government borrows from multilateral, like CDB, IDB, and different institutions about 4.5 to 5% sometimes. So you instead of paying for that, you're paying your public workers. Even they still have to pay, you see. But you're right, the issuing bond and the over period and the debt is repaid at the end of the period. By the way, as you mentioned, I hope it's made clear that the interest is paid every 6 months until the 4 years are up. So the public workers still get some income coming in on that bond every 6 months.
Okay, let's see if we have other questions here for you on this particular matter. As I see one person here saying that the government is attempting to reduce its wage bill, it is effectively a pay cut with wages deferred to a later date, and that is why the government is not issuing the bonds to the general public. That's one.
No, David, yes. Let's keep it simple. Every person gets their full pay. The way you get it could be a bond, and the majority in cash. But you could choose not to take bond, you have all in cash. So we should get rid of the notion of a pay cut. It is not correct. The question is correct, yet saying that yes, government is reducing the wage bill to shift from current to capital expenditure.
Okay, let me see if we have a call there that is relevant to this issue. Hello?
Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis, and good afternoon, Mr. Greenidge.
Miss Undecided.
Mr. Greenidge.
Good afternoon.
In the last government, right, they had a 10% at the port, which turned over about $280 million to the government. So why not put the 5% back at the port, and you will get that you will get a part of that figure that you want instead of squeezing the poor workers?
You mean NSRL, right?
Pardon me?
You mean NSRL, why you don't call the name?
NSRL and the 10% at the port that was bringing in that amount of money. But instead of squeezing the workers, next will be the pensioners, Mr. Greenidge.
Hello?
Hello, I'm here. Yeah. I'm listening to you.
Let's look at it. Government is not squeezing workers. In fact, I would tell you, there are some pensioners who call and say they want to be part of this. You cannot be squeezing someone if you're offering them a chance to make interest on their savings, something that they will save in a bank or service. So it is not. We got to use the right language and be fair.
Mm-hmm.
There's no squeezing going on here. Okay? Now, you asked a valid question, which is, why not use a tax versus expenditure? In an environment when the economy is down, you try to refrain from using taxes, okay? You get more by growing the economy and trying to grow it to expand your capitalist work program. So that's the way that the government is approaching.
But I prefer that they put back the 5% at the port. Yes, Mr. Greenidge, the IMS is squeezy workers, it's got workers and pensioners.
Listen, don't be emotional.
They've got the workers.
It is a Barbados program. You know that. Have you been following over the last 2 years what has been done in terms of the economy? Have you been following how under this program the reserves have been rebuilt from $420 million to almost $2 billion? Have you watched how the debt has fallen from $176 million percent of GDP to 118 on 120?
Yes.
Let me tell you some other stuff. The arrears has fallen from $1.9 billion to just above $200 million.
Yes.
The program is like, if you get sick, right, and you go in the hospital, we have been in the hospital, we have fixed ourselves, we have recovered, and we are stable and moving until COVID hit us. So that's not, I mean, it's a good program. It's called the Work Program, Barbados Economic Recovery and Transformation Program.
Now,
this last move is not hurting mm-hmm. the workers. People have money. There's an absence of instruments or way to invest in. It is the best deal you can get if you can afford to put down something. And my grandmother and everybody from small town don't spend every dollar you got if you don't have to.
So but have Mr. Grant, how you gonna put down something? Look, Mr. Grennan, have you watched that the IMF is crazy workers? That the truth is crazy.
Well, let me move a little bit more specifically on the question of, you've looked at all of the pros of this program, Dr. Greenwich, but there's hardly a country that we know where people don't feel the weight of having to go in this direction. What would you see as the pressure that has been exerted by this program, the price that Barbadians have had to pay for this program so far?
You're referring to the...
The BERT program.
The BERT program?
Yes.
Well, it would take me a... You know, when we started this program, maybe my mind works different, David. I like to look at where I am versus where I come from. That's how we measure success, right?
But I accept that. But the point of the matter is that you win on the one hand and you lose on the other.
The workers would be share the burden of the adjustments across. We share the burden adjustment. The past three programs we had, labor took the front of the burden. In this case, you realize we shift to the visitors, we shift the burden to between domestic to offshore. We try to spread the burden out. But listen, David, you don't fall in 40-foot wall and come out on scratch. You're going to get a scratch. And therefore, I prefer to measure it in terms of where we came from. And if you remember where we come from, our economy is now stable. We now have reserves. If COVID had hit us off a bit 2 years ago, well, we would be able to stop it. But we had no backbone. We had nothing to keep us.
I've had a number of questions here from people in the private sector who work in the private sector who are asking the question, how could they get bonds?
Now, that's a question that could be raised. So this one is really for the workers. They can get some of these by purchasing them by registering the central bank website through the portal that will be created shortly and offering to purchase any bonds that will come up. But I am telling you, David, I'd be surprised if workers who can give up, I thought I might give up a bond today, but when he sees that his colleague is earning some interest on his, he says, no, I won't be in that. But beyond that, we are looking at another instrument to come soon, which will also target private sector and other general persons. But this one restricted to the public sector workers.
This is a solidarity bond that they're talking about?
That Prime Minister referred to. But we still have to design that and come at the appropriate time. So they will get. But right now, private sector, individuals, corporations, the credit unions, the banks, anyone that wants to participate, you have to get it on what we call the secondary market. It means you have to buy one that a public servant has given up. And that way, but the interest is very, it's a good interest rate, which means that you can, and it's a short-term instrument. I suspect, and I expect, companies that have mutual funds or pension funds, et cetera, will be looking to stop it at this thing. But that's all they can participate.
And somebody here wants to know, if you took part of your salary in bonds, can you tell me how a person's gratuity will be calculated and if this will
nothing
be paid in cash? They want to know if this will be paid in cash or a combination of cash and bonds upon retirement.
No. What we're looking at was just the basic salary at school and allowances. There's nothing to do with your gratuity. There's nothing changes. But you know, in this season, tax didn't change, everything, net income is the same, nothing changes. It's just how you have an opportunity to take home a mix now. But that's not changed.
And the percentages, the 7% and so, this person wants to know if you could take less than 7%.
Absolutely. They could opt to take less.
3%?
They could opt to take whatever.
Whatever they want. Okay, that's an important clarification. Down to brass tacks. Let's take another call. Hello? You're on the air. And we have Dr. Kevin Greenidge with us. If you have some questions about this question of the BOSS program, then we'd like you to take the opportunity to raise those questions with him. And BOSS is the Barbados Optional Savings Scheme. Okay? Welcome. Hello. Who's next on the telephone? Hello. Person wants to know, how does it work with PSV?
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, sir.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Ellis. How are you?
I'm okay, and you?
And I'm good, too, and to your guest. Now, Mr. Ellis, it seems like only you left.
The boy who stood on the burning deck?
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head.
I hear you.
Anyhow, Mr. Ellis, Amanda, we were discussing forced savings. And I told you that we already had forced savings in the form of gratuity. By evening, on the evening news, I heard it had changed to a meeting term. On Tuesday, me and Mr. Wickham had it with a meeting term, because they said it was not carrying the characteristics of a meeting term. Because a meeting term, everybody does get a turn, and it was voluntary. But yesterday now, I hear it change now to the boss, that the boss getting all the turns. But I'm very glad that they were listening to the callers out there, and possibly the unions, and they realize that it must be voluntary and not for saving.
You don't think they were listening to the private sector interests too?
Well, I could only say who I was hearing from. But they know they didn't hear from you and from Mr. Wickham. Those are the two, the fourth and state. We had no support from you all, see? So that's why just listen to
it. I thought the last time that we discussed this, I don't know if you really called it, but I spoke about the danger of going in the direction of forced savings, because I referred to the fact that many people felt that when we had the restructuring of the debt, the domestic component of it, Bajans were forced to take it, and that it didn't sound good to me. So you weren't listening then, though, but you must have been somewhere outside having talk.
Well, you didn't put that line. You was discussing it with me.
Well, I said it though.
And probably it was so half-baked that nobody didn't.
Well, I can't. You know, you can't win with you.
Yes.
I can't win with you.
You know, either you're either for or you're against.
Listen, I got a gentleman here for you to put some questions to. This thing about you getting caught up in the fourth estate all the time. You go to lower estate or someplace and deal with that today. But no, take advantage of the presence of the specialist in this field and see, is there anything you want to ask him? You had a whole night last night to listen and today to what was said. You mean out of all of that, you ain't got nothing to say now? After you were so critical of the coercive component that you thought existed.
Mr. Ellis, I spoke on something for 2 days.
But this is new, man.
I am glad to see that it.
So you are happy.
It realized some fruit.
You are happy.
And that's why I'm speaking on.
Right, and therefore we can conclude therefore that you are very happy to have made an input and help to create something that you believe is positive.
And also, I am happy to see that it happened without the input from the fourth estate.
Okay.
So you know, if we had the fourth estate right
let's
minute,
move
what
on,
would
man.
Happen?
Let's move on, man.
You have a nice day, Mr. Allen.
You are the fourth estate now.
It would seem so.
Yes, very much so.
Definitely would seem so.
You're looking for work. This is down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good morning, Mr. Ellis. Good
afternoon.
Afternoon. And good afternoon to Mr. Greenidge.
1:30.
Yes. No. I want to thank Ms. McLean for raising the question she asked. When one engages with clients, one has to make sure you cover as many possible questions as possible, regardless of how crazy they could be or not. So, in all fairness, I want to thank her for that. And ultimately, I have to thank Mr. Greenwich for coming on and clarifying so many questions that I myself also had. Now, being a practitioner in the financial advising area, I think that this actually presents Barbadians with a viable chance to enter more confidently into how you can get money to work for you and not just be consuming all the time. That, for me, is one of the biggest potential spin-offs of the entire program. And that word confidence is critical. I hear the others calling, and when I say the others, those who may want to, you know, put on a cocktail dress but still belt rocks, I understand that. Let them do their thing. But the truth is, the benefit is that the difference, no, really, is that this particular mandate, this government has a mandate, and it has the confidence of people behind it that will say, okay, let me try this thing. Straight up, 5% return with the option of, not the option, but knowing that you can get a six-month coupon is a fantastic deal anywhere right now in the world, as far as I am concerned, based on my experience. That's the first thing. The other very good thing is the opportunity to shift that paradigm of how you can get your money to work for you investing. There is, based on what I heard this afternoon from Mr. Greenwich, it really knocks the nonsensical argument of a burden on the people, and right. It knocks down.
All right, but let me ask you a question, since you're waxing so warm on its positives. Mm-hmm. One of the central themes of this restructuring is that we need to encourage more private sector-led growth.
Mm-hmm.
There's a strong view that some of us hold that over the years, being able to go and invest in the bonds has been so comfortable for many Barbadians that they have not looked at opportunities in the private sector so that we could see some investment growth in that direction. So that a further reliance on bonds only puts the money in the hands of the government. And the government, it just continues the same trend. Now, we will argue, yes, COVID has come and has put us in a spin. But at the end of the day, that spin has deepened the process in which the money goes to the government. The government is the great stimulator, and it makes a mockery of all the talk that we get about private sector-led growth. How do you respond to that?
Okay, you want me to respond? Okay. Mm-hmm. Mr. Ellis, the truth is that it does indeed have to be led. It has to be led, and the government right now has more confidence than anybody else right now. Those are just
so we can forget the private sector.
Let me finish.
Mm-hmm.
The opportunity, because at first, when he heard it yesterday, I had missed the part where he said anybody, individual or financial institution, etc., does have access to the same kind of return. So when I heard that clarified for me, I felt very good, because no individuals and private sector like can invest knowing full well, no, the same space he's speaking about, as that money is tied up to work and you get a little 6 month coupon, etc., the space that's being created will, I'm not sitting on any policy table, but to my mind, this gives the government the opportunity now to feed into the same entrepreneurial programs that Mr. Sutherland is supposed to be doing and pushing. It feeds into to helping then Mr. Jordan's area in terms of labor, etc., because the Barbadians right now have no choice but to look for what they have in their
hands. So COVID, argument to you, and perhaps Mr. Greenwich, Dr. Greenwich can respond to, the argument is that the COVID situation, therefore, may well have pushed us further away from the concept of private sector-led growth, Dr. Greenwich.
I would not say that is the case.
Explain.
I think you have to understand that this is an unusual and unprecedented shock to the system, to the economy, as we enter the country and world. If you step back and consider, let's consider. Government, we expect to lose almost $500 million in revenue because of COVID.
Mm-hmm. But I understand that, you know.
Hold on a minute, David. Prior to this, I cannot sit down and go over the number of private sector projects that you offered the Prime Minister talk about on numerous occasions coming on board. But all the investors, everyone now, with this climate of uncertainty, not sure when this COVID episode will be lifted. Personally, waiting. So in the meanwhile, what has government do? Government had to step up to deal with the pandemic. You've heard me talk about the 45 million households survival program, increasing the rates to the federal department 40%. Providing $600 today. So you have to step up.
I agree, but I'm appreciative of the crisis. I'm appreciative of the crisis, but I'm saying to you that part of the price you pay for having to respond to this crisis is that it appears to push you further away from that goal.
I don't agree with that.
The fundamentals. The fundamentals of the Barbados economy has improved over the last 2 years, and they have not been shattered by this.
I'm not dealing with the fundamentals.
So what I'm saying is that because the fundamentals have not been shattered, Moody's give us a stable order. It means private sector confidence is still there, and as soon as things can be done, the private sector projects will get going.
Hold on,
and we'll put a measure in place to fast track some of those projects.
All right.
Meanwhile, you cannot get away from the fact that government have a responsibility to try to do what it can to deal with some of the unemployment issues.
No, there is no denying that part of it at all.
So I will not commingle now the issue of private sector development and growth with a shock. It's two different things.
If I go to the hospital, is this shock, and then we have other bonds to put on the market as well?
No. Hold on a minute, David. I get sick because I have to do something. A piece of surgery on my hip.
Yeah.
But doesn't mean that my long term goal of being fit and running a marathon or something has changed. It means in the intern, I just need to address a problem, an issue I have.
All right. Let me get some other callers, please.
Okay, Mr. Ellis.
Yes. Yes, Don DeBrass. Let's take another call. Sorry about
that. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis. Can I speak to Dr. Dennett?
Sure, definitely.
Now, Dr. Dennett, hello?
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dr. Dennett. I am wondering something here. I've been listening to you. The process you outline every month from person, they're having to sell their bond to the central bank. That wouldn't be a bit cumbersome and so? And secondly, you say the central bank may take them. But I want to know what you think of what I'm going to say here now. No. Wouldn't it be possible to say, suppose you got a list, a total sum for the amount of for the people who will take the bond, right? Then you have naturally the ones who want to have cash. Couldn't it be possible then to have an underwriter, that is one financial institution or consortium of financial institutions, to take up the bonds for those people who want to have cash? So in other words, the underwriter would take over these bonds and pay for them and then dispose of them in the market over time. Because you tell me that the central bank will sell them off to these institutions. So suppose the institution...
Start with your second question first. That is, the second part you made is quite feasible, just another option. How do we do that? Central bank is playing that role now. That institution have to have the cash. So it's just a matter of choice. But what we have done now is try to make it seamlessly so that the key here is the worker. The worker must have his cash immediately on pay there.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that...
So it doesn't stop the worker. A worker can take his bond and cash, and he can take the bond to his credit union, which is a good deal. And because when his credit union invests in that bond, revenues increase with credit union, shares increase, and his dividend increase. So the workers are not restricted to where they take them. But we're catering also for the worker who says, I want all my money in cash now. That must be so seamlessly that the worker doesn't have to do anything. And the other point, and also on your other question, in terms of having to do, the worker doesn't have to submit something every month. Starting the beginning program, you indicate your preference. Unless that changes, no further instructions are needed. If that changes, you send a green structure. So it's not cumbersome and having to use the oil.
No, what I'm saying is, so you're saying that the worker can take the bond to the credit union or something. I'm saying that suppose, for example, the credit unions and Saudi Corps or different institutions, you had a consortium of them, take up the bonds, the balance of the bonds and pay for them. And the worker would not have to worry about anything at all. The worker would get his money. And yes, but then these bonds would be disposed of.
The worker has to have choice. I'm working my one key case, so you can't.
No, but I'm saying that you would have had a list. My argument is that you would have had a list of the people in the civil service who will take the bond already. So these are ones who are saying, look, we don't want the bond, we want cash. So those who want cash, I'm saying that wouldn't it be possible to sell off those, let an underwriter take up those. Because as I said, it could be one institution or consortium to take up those bonds and dispose them on the market.
My view on it is, listen, there are many ways. We always have to keep in what we are trying to achieve. Mm-hmm. What you're saying will also achieve a goal. There's nothing wrong with what you're saying. Mm-hmm. You just chose to do it a different way in order to achieve one goal. So I'm not saying what you're saying is not possible. But we solve the problem, which is ensuring that the worker gets his cash now. So I'm not saying it can work your way too. We're just choosing to implement a system so it is seamless. And we keep it simple as possible.
Yeah, because if the central bank is then going to sell the bond on to the institution, right?
No, the central bank would be, not just sell on to the institution. Remember the other objective, the beautiful thing of this, is help us now to develop that secondary market for trading bonds, which we have been trying to do for 15 years. And because each worker then, if all workers were to hold a bond, their portion, in fact, each worker will have every month a bond plus cash. And at the end of 18 months, they'll have 18 pieces of bond, 18 straight. They can choose to sell whichever one. You sell bond number 3, sell bond number 10, sell number 9. And so we're creating that. We're creating where people can come together and trade. So we don't want, you can sell to someone. An individual, private sector, John Brown, who is not a public sector worker, should be able to go on the benchmark website and buy a bond.
And that is important to repeat that, because the number of people that are just asking a question that has been answered much earlier, more than once, I believe, there's so many people, and it does suggest to me, from what I'm seeing here online, that there may be a strong appetite among non-public sector people to buy into this program. And you've said already, if you want to be part of it, you go and register on the central bank website, but you're not supposed to do it just yet because you are finalizing certain details that need to be put up.
But the point is that anyone should be able to go and indicate, hey, sign me up for 5,000. If 5,000 become available, I want some. But the beautiful thing is that the public sector workers get the preference and it comes out immediately. You don't have to worry about that part. But everybody else get to choose. And also it provides now a liquid market, so we start to get, because also, David, we have to do in Barbados what we've been trying to do is increase our this financial literacy proficiency, so to speak. So get accustomed to trading in bonds and get digital secondary market, how it works. This helps us develop that so that people can easily, let's say if a worker been saving his bonds for 6 months. He has 6 pieces of trade. And let's say each of those was $500, so that's what $6,000 you have in bond. And something happens, you need a medical emergency, or you need to take a trip. Easily, you don't have to convert. Or you can say to the central bank, "Listen, I need to sell 4,000 in bonds, and let me see what I get." So it offers you that flexibility to come in and take over how much you want. So the idea is to create this secondary market also. That's the added benefit.
Fine. So we have the primary market has basically fizzled out in Barbados. So what would be so different about this secondary market that you believe would make it more viable than what we have seen?
So when we talk about the primary market is basically primary issuance of bonds. So the workers, just make sure everybody on the same terminology. When a worker receives a bond, he is the primary holder. That's his primary insurance, he receives that bond. When the worker then opts to sell that bond, the next person that buys it, this is the secondary market working. We never had a really buoyant secondary market in Barbados for bonds. People tend to buy bonds and hold bonds to maturity. But now with the way it's designed, because there are small pieces, different strips, you can now, before you have, let's say before you have a savings bond, right? 5,000 at central bank, and something happened, but you only need 2,000. You have to cash in a whole bond, perhaps lose out on the interest on the remaining 3,000. But this time now you can do pieces and strips, so you don't put more fully tradable. Yeah?
Okay, well, let's get another call. Thank you.
Down
to brass tacks.
You
got to go back into a meeting?
Yes, you called me.
All right, well, take this last question.
All right.
Yes.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis. Quickly, two quick questions. Some, you were trying to push the idea of the NSRL, which I asked you to bring an expert. I'm so glad the doc is on. One, would the if you revert to the NSRL, will that help fortify your pursuit right now? And two, is there anything really sinister about the NSRL? I'd like to hear your clarity finally on this.
Yes, Dr. Greenwich? Did you hear the question?
No.
The question had to do with NSRL, because some people believe that Barbados really made an error in moving away from NSRL. I think what I hear from critics of that move away from it is that the money had to be paid up front by the people who were the merchants and the retailers and wholesalers in the country. And therefore, they thought it was a better system. What do you know? I've heard the Prime Minister describe it as inflationary, but what are your thoughts?
Well, the NSRL, in terms of they're a very distortionary tax and a very efficient one. It just basically increases the cost of doing business and operating.
How so?
It's not very focused. But everything, if once you import something, immediately you have a 10% increase of it. It doesn't matter what it is. So any bond increase, even if you are working in the export industry, exporting anything, your input is higher by 10% just across the board. To increase the cost of doing business and make you uncompetitive relative to any other tax that you could put on. So it's a very inefficient tax by any economic measure.
All right. Well, I promise that will be the last question. I want to thank you very much for coming out of your meeting and taking some time to explain this matter. I must say that this coming weekend on Brass Tacks Sunday, we'll be looking in more detail at this whole question of the BOSS program when Sanka Price will be doing what might well be his final Brass Tacks program with us. And he's already got things in motion for that particular focus. He says here the pros and cons of the BOSS initiative is what will be discussed on Sunday. Thank you very much again, Dr. Kevin Greenwich.
You're welcome, David. Thank you very much.
Down to Brass Tacks, the closing stages of this program. It is now 1:50. Hello?
Hello, David.
Yes, hi.
How are you keeping, man?
I'm well, and you?
Pretty good. I heard Mr. Greenwich there upon the program. They're talking about these bonds and central bank and so forth and things. I want Mr. Greenwich to understand one thing, right? And the government to understand one thing. There's something called credibility and trust. Credibility and trust. We don't want deception and smokes and mirrors and so forth. Credibility and trust you need. Once you develop that there, you can sell all the bonds and whatever you want to people, the public of Barbados. And you will have no problems, okay? So that's the first thing they got to develop. Credibility and trust. I start bringing a lot of Hollywood talk and so about this place and so forth. Let me tell you something right now.
You got to deal with some specifics. If you're going
to I want the public about this to understand, right? There's a place for the union and the civil service and so forth to understand, right? That in 2018, January to be specific, I bought some treasury notes and from the government of Barbados on a contractual agreement in January 2018. Treasury notes at 6.25 interest rate per annum. Okay, this is facts. And you know what these people did in September 2018? They took the contract, they took the bond certificate, tear it up.
Was it a bond? Because I think
you some bond, it's basically any money that you buy from, any money you put into government is basically, it's a central bank, it's basically a bond.
No, this is no. You know, last time it was on this.
Okay, if you don't want,
it was not a government. It was not a government bond. It was government
paper. Treasury note.
Right.
It was a treasury note.
Right.
Authorized or issued by the government of Barbados and the central bank as agents. Okay. It was issued by the government of Barbados and the same storyline that the government brings this time, that if you put your money in the bank and get 0.1% interest rate and so forth, why don't the same line they used back in 2018, you know what I mean, take your money out of the bank, the cause the banks to do the like, drop the interest rates at the banks so that they can suck up all the money out of the economy and put it in the central bank and put it in their coffers and so forth and things. So basically, it's a contract.
That was part of the, wasn't that part of the restructuring program, sir?
Hold on, let me explain to you. In January 2018, the previous government was in power. I bought some treasury notes, which is government bonds. Basically, we better call it, this one quite a government bonds. Okay, got different forms of government bonds. And what they did in September 2018, instead of paying 6.25 interest rate, they dropped it down to 1%.
Sir, we were here with you, you know.
And
just hold on. We were here with you, and we know the extent to which a number of people felt a great deal.
Just hold on.
We had a lot of disappointment, and that disappointment was driven by the fact that the government came and it said, look, this is the situation that we are facing as a country, and this is the option that is before us. And a lot of people were disappointed, and you are among those. Commercial banks were disappointed, and financial houses. And a lot of people were disappointed.
Insurance companies.
All right, but at the end of the day, you believe that will stop you from buying a bond?
I will never touch it. I will advise the civil service not to touch it.
All right, well.
Because let me tell you something. I'll give you an example too, right?
I got something else that I need to clarify here. So
hold on.
You need to be quick. No, I don't have enough time. You got to come back to me because there was a matter which was raised relating to the BRA before we close the program. I do apologize, but I don't have enough time to pursue that particular point with you. The Erica Lazar is on the line from the BRA. Miss Lazar?
Hi, David, how are you?
Okay, not bad. There was a concern that was raised earlier on the program. Did you hear it from...
Yes, I did. And I wrote it down and made a note of it.
Okay.
He said he was not able to make a payment...
A client.
Penalty on it?
Yeah.
Right. So all he needed to do on the payment advice page, it has the amount. So you just need to type in the 800, select the payment option, cash or check, and then create the payment advice. So I think he was missing that step.
Well, I think in this instance, I don't think this was an online transaction at the time. The person, because you know, some people don't do these online transactions. They go in person to pay.
Mm-hmm.
And when they got there, they were told, well, you know, your particular tax had not been returned, tax return had not been sorted out. So we are not taking your money. So the person said, but
so he didn't file the return.
There was some problem with filing the return because I think the wife's return, the information had not been uploaded.
Well, it's always advisable to file first, but if you're paying, just make sure that you know exactly what you're paying for. I suspect they may not have known what the period, the tax type, the year and everything. So if the cashier does not know what to apply it to, there might be some type of miscommunication there. So, but I can tell you that he can go and pay. That's not an issue.
So he can advise his client.
That he can pay online. You can pay online using the online bank transfer, and the information is on the BRA website, bra.gov.bb. But you can also go and pay in person at any of these five locations. All right.
I suppose what was interesting is that this guy who made the complaint said he used to work with what was then the Inland Revenue Department. He doesn't know a soul now in the BRA, and he says trying to call inside there to get information is so difficult.
Mr. Ellis, I will admit that right now our lines are just overloaded. We have so many people calling right now for queries, but hopefully the extension would help to free it up a bit. What you can do is if you can get hand on the by telephone, You can email us at brnmail@bra.gov.bb, or we are responding to everybody on social media. So you can send us a message directly on Instagram and Facebook, and we will get back to you.
Now, this person says to me that the payment advice doesn't allow you to put in any total you want.
Yes, you can. I'm looking at it right now. At the top, it says amount, and it's editable. So just put in the amount that you want to pay. Everything flows from there.
All right.
Everything flows from there.
Thank you very much, Erica Lazar.
You're welcome.
Thanks to all of you for participating in today's edition of the program. Special thanks to Dennis Johnson, the producer and technical operator. I'm David Ellis, and I wish you a great afternoon and an even better weekend.